As we continue our series in Romans, we're going to be looking at the second half of Romans chapter 10 this morning. So I'd invite you to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, and we're going to be reading from that passage in just a couple of minutes. But as we begin to think about Romans chapter 10, I want us to first consider and to think for a couple minutes about some of the statistics related and that reveal things about the state of Christianity in our world today. So there are presently somewhere right in the neighborhood of 7.7 billion people on our planet today. And of those 7.7 billion people, there are approximately somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.3 billion Christians. So that means that there's somewhere kind of right in the neighborhood of 31% of the population of Earth that would identify as Christian people. So almost one-third of the population of the world. And in some ways, this kind of truth, these statistics, this state of Christianity in our world today, it might be something that would be very exciting for someone like Paul, who authored Romans that we're reading through right now as a church and studying as a church. It might be exciting because in the world that Paul lived in, of course, there were almost no Christians. It would have been far less than 1% of the global population that would have known Christ and been a follower of Christ, and it would have been the vast majority of the global population that would have no idea or no opportunity or no access, any kind of way for them to come to know Jesus. And so on. In some ways, this might be encouraging to Paul because he is spending his life, his time, his energy sharing the message of Jesus. He's spending his time going to different places and preaching to people about who Jesus is and what he's done. He's spending his life writing letters to explain the gospel message and explain what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. He is doing everything that he can to build up churches, to teach people, to equip people, to send people out to share the message of Christ. And so in some ways, Paul might be really encouraged or excited to know that after 2,000 years of that message going forth, that now we're at a point where almost one in three people globally know Jesus. And yet, even while he might be excited about some things, I still think as we consider the kind of person that Paul was and the way that we see him portrayed in his writing and in the book of Acts, that there would be some elements of the current state of Christianity that would be really heartbreaking and troubling to Paul. For instance, just the reality that with almost one-third of the earth claiming Christ, that would mean that there are still two-thirds of the global population, a little over two-thirds of the global population that do not know Jesus. And of those two-thirds that don't know Jesus, there are a lot of people who don't really have any opportunity presently, don't have anything that would look like even access for them to come to know or to hear about Jesus. Experts believe that somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 billion people lack what's referred to often as gospel access. So they lack the opportunity to hear the gospel from someone in their culture because there's almost or there's literally no one within their culture that would be a Christian or would know the gospel. They lack access because the Bible hasn't been translated into a language that they speak or understand. They lack access because Christianity is a religion that isn't permitted in their country, and so there's no way for them to hear or interact with that message of Christ. There are a lot of different ways which people can lack access, but it's this idea that they not only don't know Jesus, but that they don't really have a good opportunity to come to know Jesus. It's very unlikely that some neighbor or is going to just cross the street and tell them, or some other person they know is going to come to them and share the message of Christ. And of that huge portion of the global population, again, almost a third, just a little bit under a third, many of those people, approximately 85% of those people that lack gospel access, live in sections of North Africa and the Middle East and Asia, where it is very difficult for people to come and to share the good news with them. So they not only lack it, but it's hard for there to be a way for missionaries to come and to share the gospel with them. And so as a result, it was estimated in just the last few years that approximately 10% of all global missions work among all Christian groups was focused in on this area in North Africa and the Middle East and Asia. It's hard that even though there's such a huge percentage of that population that lacks gospel access, that so few people are able to be sent there and to get in and to do that work. And I think things like that, that state of global Christianity, is something that would be heartbreaking for Paul. If he follows the same kind of route that we've seen him take in Romans chapters 9 to 11, it's something that would break his heart. It's something that would probably build in him that resolve to pray for those people. It's probably something that would build in him this resolve to do whatever he could to see those people come to know Jesus. He would be concerned about equipping people to go and to spread the message there. He would be concerned about going there if he was able and God called him to be in that place. He would want to do whatever he could to reach people that didn't know Jesus and that didn't have a great opportunity to come to know him. That's the sense we get as we think about who Paul is and as we see his personality revealed in Romans 9 to 11. So with this state of global Christianity in mind, let's read from Romans chapter 10, beginning in verse 14. It says this: "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And that how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." There are moments, and we've seen these moments in Romans and certainly in other writings of Paul, where Paul appears to use words like he's a masterful surgeon, where he is just precise and he's accurate and he's pointed in making these kind of systematic arguments. And then there are these other moments where Paul's messages read a bit less like that, and even while they're accurate and can be pointed, where it's more like he's making this kind of an impassioned plea to the people of God, this impassioned plea to churches that he's writing to. And I think as we read this passage in Romans chapter 10, it's right for us to see these questions coming out as more of this impassioned plea for people to come to know God. Because what we know is that Paul has talked about being brokenhearted for the people of Israel that don't know Christ, that haven't come to know Christ. Paul has talked about how it is his heart's desire. It's this prayer that is on his mind, that's on his lips, for these people to come to know Christ. And now, after in this chapter, he spent this process explaining how this message of salvation is something that goes out equally to both Jews and Greeks. So to the people of Israel and to all people of earth, after he's proclaimed this kind of truth, he goes on and he explains how people come to experience faith in Christ. He goes on to explain how people come to know Jesus. And he does so by asking these questions that almost work backwards from the point someone places faith in Christ to how they came to know and to believe and to hear that message. And so this morning, we are going to look at each of these messages, and we're going to, or each of these questions, and we're going to start with the last question and then work our way back to verse 14. So in verse 15, Paul asks, "And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. For people to come to faith in Jesus, for people to come to know the salvation, to know the good news of Jesus, someone is going to have to be sent to them by God to preach that good news, to share that good news with them." And Paul is quick to highlight, but by quoting Isaiah 52 verse 7, that this is a beautiful calling that people have, that this is not something that people should do out of fear, that this is not something that people should do out of sort of a loathsome obligation, this sense that they have to do something, that this opportunity to share the good news with others is not something that should be a chore, but it's something that is a blessing for us. It's something that's beautiful to have the opportunity to be a part of. So, when someone comes to know Jesus, it is because someone has shared the good news of Jesus with them. And this is something that's kind of cool for us to consider about our own lives. If you have placed faith in Christ, if you've called on the name of Jesus, you did that because someone shared the good news of Jesus with you. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher when you were a kid growing up in church. Maybe it was a parent or a grandparent that you were having a discussion with. Maybe it was a friend, or maybe you were in church and it was a pastor that was sharing that good news. It could come in all kinds of different ways through all kinds of different people. It could come even through the work someone did, writing a book or listening to a message on TV or the radio or online, something like that. It could come in all kinds of different mediums and from all kinds of different people, but if you placed faith in Christ, God sent someone to share that good news with you. And this is where it's kind of a cool thing for us to consider, but God sent someone to share the good news with that person as well. That for the person who came to share the good news with you, they had to have someone who was faithful to share that good news with them. And you could keep working back through history, through this kind of lineage of people sharing the good news the whole way back to Christ calling his disciples. If we were able to kind of trace that back through history, what we would see is over thousands and thousands of years, people were faithful, not just to receive that good news, but also then after they have received it, to go and to share that good news with other people. And this is something that is really important for all of us to engage in, for all of us to be these people that are sent to share the good news. You know, some people find themselves in a place of vocational ministry, or some people find themselves on the mission field where they're leaving their country or their home to go and to share the good news with other people. Some people seem to have a real gift or a knack for just bringing that up in conversation and talking with people about coming to know Christ. But whether we find ourselves in a position like that, or whether we are just someone who has called on Jesus and doesn't feel particularly gifted in those kinds of ways, we are still a people that are called by God to share this message with others. That's what we see in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, where Jesus is explaining that his followers, that his disciples, are to go out and to make disciples of all people. So, for someone to come to know Christ, God needs to send someone to preach that news. And then he asks another question. He says, "And how are they to hear without someone preaching?" And so this seems maybe a little bit redundant, but what he's saying is that the journey of faith begins with hearing the truth. So when someone is sent out with that message, when they're called to share that message with someone, they need to share it with someone that's listening to them. Because this first process in coming to belief is to hear the good news of Jesus. You can't believe in something that you don't know. You can't believe in something that you haven't heard. You can't believe in something that you haven't interacted with in any kind of capacity. So it needs to be shared with someone. And then Paul goes on to clarify this by asking another question. He says, and how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? Someone needs to be sent out to share the good news. That person who is sent out needs to deliver the message they're sent with. They need to be faithful to share that message of the good news with another person. That person needs to hear the message. And then, after hearing that message, after interacting with that good news, they need to believe the message. And then finally, Paul will explain through a final question. He asks, how then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? So once someone has heard the message, and once someone has believed the message to be true, then they call upon the name of the Lord. He summarizes these questions, or kind of elaborates on these questions in verse 17, when he says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And that idea of the word of Christ is this good news of who Jesus is and what he has done. And this idea of calling on and recognizing him as Lord and Savior. So, for people to come to faith, first we hear the good news, then we believe the good news, and then we call upon Jesus. And we call upon him in that way that we talked about last week, where we confess him as King, as Lord, as Savior over our lives. This is a chapter where, in some sense, this is a section of Scripture where, in some sense, Paul's just laying out systematically through these questions how someone comes to faith in Christ, how someone comes to know Jesus. But it's important for us to remember that this is taking place within this broader context and message of Romans chapter 9 to 11, where what Paul is doing is looking at why the people of God, why Israel has largely rejected the gospel message. And he's lamenting that. He's sharing his heart about that. He's making this plea that the people of Israel would come to know Christ. And so after he explains what it looks like for people to hear that message and to receive that message and to call on the name of the Lord, he says, sadly, though, this hasn't happened much with Israel. This hasn't happened often with the people of God. As the chapter is ending, chapter 10 is ending, Paul quotes from Isaiah 65, and he says this, but of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. This brings us back to this idea that even while God has extended his blessings to the people of Israel, even while God has over and over again sent prophets and messengers to the people of Israel, even while God has extended new life and this promise of the Messiah and delivered on that promise of the Messiah in Jesus, that he has often been met with what's described in Isaiah as disobedient and contrary children. That he's held out his hand to them and that they have rejected his hand. And so as we think about this passage, there are two important things that I want for us to consider this morning. The first is this. Let's not be a people that miss the hand of God being extended to us. Now, earlier in this chapter, in verses 12 and 13, when Paul is talking about how this blessing is being extended to all people, whether Jew or Greek, it talks about how it is extended to everyone that calls on the name of the Lord. And then it gives this image that Paul's pointing out here, where God is extending his hands towards his people. So let's be committed to receiving that blessing well. Let's consider this imagery that we receive of God in Romans chapter 10, that he is this God that is extending his hand of blessing, his promise of new life, his forgiveness of sins. He's extending all of these things to us, and that we need to be people that receive that. The good news is this message, of course, that Jesus came to earth, that he lived perfectly, that he bore the penalty of our sins, and that he rose victoriously over the grave. He comes into our mess. He takes on our guilt. He conquers over sin and death. And then, when he would have every right to withhold that blessing from us, or to say you need to follow all of these list of rules or these do's and don'ts to receive that blessing, when he would have every right to withhold that and say you need to perform these special acts to prove how worthy you are of this blessing, or when he could say that we need to accomplish these certain things in our life to ensure that we will receive that blessing at some point when we pass from this life, he doesn't do any of that. He says that simply what we need to do is to receive the blessing that he is extending to us. Let's be a people that receive that blessing well. Let's be a people that don't miss this reality that God is extending his rich mercy upon us, that God, or to us, that God is extending this rich blessing of new life to us, and that all he asks is that we receive it in faith. And secondly, once we receive that gift, we are a people that are called to extend that gift to others. Romans chapter 10 speaks really of this mission of the church. It speaks to what we are called to as the church universal, as all Christians, to be a people that have been called and are sent to share the good news with others. And this is part of the mission of our church as well. Our church mission is to encourage and equip people to love God, love our neighbors, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to recognize that God is calling us to share the gospel with others. This is that truth we've already looked at in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20 in the Great Commission, where we read that the disciples of Jesus are called to go throughout the world, to make disciples of all nations. That once they have been called, once they have received new life, that they are then called to share that new life with others. This is the truth we see in Acts 1:8 when Jesus is speaking to his disciples and he says that even after he leaves, the Holy Spirit is going to come and that they are going to be his witness in the areas that immediately surround them, right in their city, that they're going to be his witnesses in the areas that are made up of different people groups that are around them and in their general kind of broader area, and that they are going to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. This is what we see when Paul is mentoring Timothy in the faith in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5, when he says to Timothy and encourages him to do the work of an evangelist. All through Scripture, what we see is that once we have been faithful in receiving that blessing from God, that we are a people that are called to then extend that blessing to other people. So I want us to consider this morning, where is God sending you with the good news of Jesus? Where is God calling you to share the good news of Christ with other people? You know, for some of us, that call looks like what we heard about with the Nutters earlier. That for some of us, that call looks like us leaving our homes, leaving our comfort, and going to a different country to serve and to proclaim the good news there. For some of us, that call looks like supporting and going to places even that seem dangerous or frightening, like places in that window of North Africa and the Middle East and Asia where gospel access is a really difficult thing for people to experience. And for some of us, that step might not be on an airplane, but that step to follow God faithfully where He is sending us is off of our sidewalk and across the street to our neighbor's house. For some of us, we're being sent, we're being called to share that good news with the people that live around us, with our friends in school, with our friends that we work with, or our coworkers, people that we interact with and care about on a daily basis. Where is God sending you to extend that blessing that you have received? Who is God entrusting you to share the message of good news with? Again, Romans 10. As we consider what it says about God, it paints this beautiful picture that God is extending His riches to all who call upon Jesus. That God is there offering this incredible gift to us, and that we need to receive it and be faithful to extend it to others.